Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
hat on,
suit on,
suit on,
looking like a dapper don,
giving a microphone,
dress
like a million bucks,
buying
things in his cuffs.
Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh,
yeah. Listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey, got a radio show. Uh-huh. One more time, man. Steve Harvey got a radio show. Man, ain't God been good to me? Wow. But then again, ain't he been good to you too, though? I mean, really, man. Think of all the blessings God has given you. Think of all the things he's done for you. Things that you asked for, things that you didn't ask for, things that you was expecting, then all about all of the unexpected blessings. Man, he just keep coming with it, don't he? You know what? That's some good news today, though, y'all. You know, in the face of the world being the way it is, the evilness that's out there, it just seems like that's all that's on the news sometimes. You know, we got news of parents not really standing up being parents. We got news stories of children turning on their parents. You got everything. The economy, you got places you thought used to be beautiful places to go. Now they got travel alerts. It's all over. But the good news is there's something that you can have in this relationship with God that gives you a way to deal with it all. And I'm not saying that it'll protect you from every single thing out there that's happening, because some things are going to happen to you. You're going to be in an accident from time to time. You're going to make a mistake and fall down from time to time. But man, wouldn't it be incredible for you if you understood that you had some insurance in all of this, that no matter what happened to you, you know, you were covered? You know, look, insurance companies, as good as they are, you know, like our friends at State Farm or any other insurance company, you know, they do some amazing things. Insurance is a really, really good thing to happen in the event that something happens to you. You know, you may not want to pay the premium, but guess what? In the event that something happens to you, that insurance is absolutely critical. Well, but guess what? They cover certain things. You could get life insurance. You can get auto insurance, you can get accident insurance, you can get health insurance. There is nothing that you can buy to safeguard you against life's decisions. You know, if you make a mistake, if you cheat, if you lie, if you fall down and you can't seem to get it together and you make a crazy decision about how you going to go about securing an income. There are no policies you can buy for that. You can't buy a policy if you stop being the man you're supposed to be and give up on your children. You can't buy a policy if something happens as a mother and all of a sudden you're not the mother you're supposed to be. But there is some insurance coverage out there for you. And that relationship that you form with God, that friendship that you form with him, that alliance that you, that partnership, that prayer that you put in all the time, there is an insurance policy that you have taken out when you form a relationship with your Heavenly Father, when you form a friendship, when you form a bond that protects you when these things happen, in the event that they happen. Now, here's the great thing about prayer. Prayer can head off some stuff from happening. It really, really can. Prayer can prevent some things from happening. You know, I'll give you an example in my life. Okay, here we go. Because, see, it's the best way for me to do it. Because, see, what I don't like to do is talk to people without letting them know, hey, look, I'm in this hole with you. I feel where you're at. Okay, here we go. I was making some decisions a few years ago because what I thought I was doing was counterbalancing something that was happening in my life. You know, I thought that since I wasn't happy, or for whatever the reason I thought I wasn't happy, if I, as wrong as I am, wanted to blame somebody else for my unhappiness, that's really, if I make a bad decision because I'm thinking I'm unhappy with somebody, well, hold up, pardon. Two wrongs don't make a right. And I make a decision to do something wrong. And now the consequences come when I do something wrong. See, then I already know, as an intelligent thinking man, as most of you are, that when you do something wrong, that, you know, there is a consequence for that. I teach that to my sons. When you do something wrong, there is a consequence. So as an adult, I fully understood the consequence. And so what I was doing was I was making some decisions that was causing some consequences in my life that was delaying my happiness, delaying my progress, causing my business not to go the way it could go, so forth and so on. Well, what I started doing was I took out this insurance policy called prayer, and I started putting it in my mix on a daily basis. And then I started putting it in my mix, you know, 2-3 times a day. And then I found myself using it all the time. And then I really started putting it in when I didn't need any help, when I wasn't in trouble. I started putting insurance in. I started making deposits into the bank. I started paying my premiums down. And prayer is like a premium. You just pay into it. Then when situations started coming up now, that prayer that I had put in, that in those premiums I had paid, it started preventing me from making the decisions I was making in the past. Thus, I didn't have to suffer the consequences. Thus, my businesses didn't have to be delayed in its progress because I had put some payments on some premiums. I had taken out an insurance policy with my life, my real life. I'm talking about your life where you make your day-to-day decisions in. I'm not talking about, see, life insurance is only good if you die. God has a policy that's available for you while you're living. See, in order for an insurance policy to pay, something bad got to happen. Now, there may be some others out there I don't know nothing about, but all the ones I got, my car insurance, they only come into play if I have an accident. I have an accident insurance policy where if something happens to me, I got accident. I got my voice is covered in case something happened to that. I got that. But I got to not be able to talk to cash that one. You understand? I mean, everything. I got homeowner's insurance. Don't nothing show up on my homeowner's insurance unless it's a flood, a fire, a theft. Something bad got to happen for my insurance to even make sense. When you take out the policy with your Heavenly Father, when you pay the premiums of prayer, and that's all it costs, man. You ain't got to have no money for this policy. I put into the policy, it pays me dividends and benefits for living. Ain't nothing got to go wrong for me to cash in on this policy. I use this policy for good things. I give you an example. I use this policy to ask God to watch over my family when I travel. I use this policy to ask God to bless my sons on their journey into manhood. He covers me. I ask God to help make my dreams come true with this policy. He covers me. I ask God for the desires of my heart. He give them to me. I ask God to lead and guide and protect me and keep me from making stupid decisions like I used to make. He said, all right, partner, stop doing this. Stop doing that. Now, guess what? I'm not perfect. Steve Harvey, long way from being perfect. I never claimed perfection. Man, listen to me, y'all. Make the decisions to pay your premiums in prayer. Talk to your Heavenly Father. Get you some insurance in your life. And when you have little things like that, keep on stepping, man. God loves you, man. Man, I sure hope you talk to God today, because guess what? He sure would like to hear from you. That's for sure.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people all around the world, you are listening to the dedicated Steve Harvey. Rain, sleet, snow, or hail, nothing will keep the Pony Express from riding in here to work. And I've been catching hell, tired, exhausted, run down, still coming in to work. Why? Because I have the supportive cast of one of the greatest radio shows in the world.
Championship
Shirley
team,
Strawberry.
Hey, good morning, Steve Harvey.
The Carla Pharrell.
What's up? Hey, Steve. Hey, crew.
That Junior.
Morning, up.
This J. Anthony Brown.
Watch out there now, Steve Harvey.
That damn fool right there.
Yes, sir. Top of the morning.
Okay.
All right, we're here. Here we go.
Yeah, roll call.
Well, everybody's here.
It's Good Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Yes, it is. It is Good Friday.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, but we all knew what you were going to say, though.
Myself, what was I going to say?
Is this when they passed out the palms?
Sure was.
Yes.
Palms.
We know
sure was.
I said, no, that was last
Sunday.
Not
Palm Friday.
It's Palm Sunday.
Palm Friday and Good Sunday.
I used to love Palm Sunday.
Oh, I did,
too. Get in palm fights.
Palm Friday is what they do in the strip clubs.
Okay.
Mm.
Wow.
All right. Wow. We went for that one, huh?
And we're going to hell.
In a handbag.
He going.
Wow.
Hey, you put it all out there.
Hey, you can't. They can't all be winners.
Palm Friday.
What'd you say, Jay? My bad.
I couldn't even get the connection.
My bad.
Oh, you just got it, Steve?
No, I couldn't get the connection.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Man, you know, I can't shake this. Very rarely does something. My sinus infection is just on top of me. I can't shake it. I didn't sleep well at all last night, man.
It's supposed to be the best place for sinus. I mean, the nice air.
Oh, you
out
mean
here.
California? Yeah.
Sunshine. Yeah.
It's the best place for sickle cell, I'll tell you that much.
damn good place for diabetes, too.
Yeah. That's a shame. Y'all talking about God,
illness. I ain't been this healthy since I was six.
But, you know, a lot of our listeners got the same thing we're going through. So.
Y'all are listening to Sick, Die, and Stopped Up right now.
It's all about the geography, Jay.
I've just been diving in pools.
We'll be right back with more diseases after these messages. Yeah.
That's a shame.
I just think what I probably need is a cigar.
That's all you got to have.
On the roof.
Clearly, right on up.
Wow. That is true, though, Steve. You rarely get sick.
Yeah, you know, and it's like throwing me off a little bit. I'm fighting through it, but wow. I'm like, man, I'm tired of it. Been 2 days now. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Not 2 days.
2 days. 48
hours.
Done. Your patience with everything.
Oh, I'm done, man. I got so much dope in me.
He's on.
I took this morning to get me through it.
Uh-huh.
2 cups of Dayquil.
Oh, that's right.
And 4 shots of Afrin.
That's too much. All right, listen.
Wow.
That's too much. Coming up is something funny. Stuff you say to your neighbors under your breath. Jay will explain when we come back at 32 after.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, it's time for something funny. And, Jay, this is about stuff you say to your neighbors under your breath. Please explain.
This has to do with we see our neighbors all the time. We're not that fond of them sometimes. Yeah. So we speak, but under our breath, we're saying little things, little insulting things like, hey, how you doing? You need to clean up that nasty ass yard.
Keep it 100, Jack.
Keeping it 100. You got one thing.
Check, Jay.
I just want this. Earl, how you doing? How you doing? Earl, my man. You need some curtains, man.
You don't want to see
your naked ass every night.
We see it too much.
How you doing, Franklin's? Good to see you. Hope that boy stay home this time.
He just got out.
He takes vacations, Junior.
Hey, good to see ya. Uh-huh. This is the fifth time.
Dang. Come on, nephew. Stuff we Perkins. Say to our neighbors.
Perkins, how are you? Good, good. We should do something with that damn boat you've been having back. You need to do something with that damn boat. That boat don't even work.
You got deep restrictions. How
you doing, Mr. Kennedy? Hey, how you doing? I can smell that wee way over here. Across the street, I smell it.
Dale, Kim, how you guys doing today? With them stupid ass kids. Them half-wit
not the kids.
Yeah,
with not them the babies.
Kids.
This is stuff we say to our neighbors under our breath.
It's got to be said. It's got to be said.
Come on, Junior. Hey,
Smiths, good to see you. All right, now. I wouldn't be pushing my mama that long. Now, she got to do something. Three people.
Hey, Bob, how are you? Good, good. Wish you can stop your fat ass wife from swimming naked all the time.
Really?
Just scaring the hell out of my dog.
Morning, Mr. Anderson. How you doing? Yeah. How you got four claws on block and don't none of them work?
Four cars?
Yeah,
that yard is a mess. Stuff we say to our neighbors under our breath. Come on, Steve.
Willis, what's going on, boy? I see you. Have a good one today. So glad he over there, because that breath of him. He came over with that breath. He cut my grass last week.
He killed my flower.
He spoke to me and cut my grass last week with his breath.
Wow, that's bad. That's a dragon right there.
Hey, Johnsons, it's good to see y'all. All right, now, man. No, we good. We good. I'll tell you right now, I know a baby when he eat paper. I know that baby eat paper. Ain't gotta tell me no more. I know that baby eats paper. Baby, he's smart at all. No, you ain't got to bring him over. No, we good.
Stuff we say.
He ain't
got to
make this birthday party, baby.
Stuff we say to our neighbors under our breath. Tommy, go.
Leonard, hey. Nice day today. Good, good. Wasn't good last night. Damn police let you know.
What?
I know you selling dope. I know you selling dope.
You called him.
Stuff we say to our neighbors under our breath.
Ethel, Herman, how y'all doing? So good. Ethel and Herman, my friends, my friends. Time for y'all put y'all mama in a hole.
You cannot say that. Steve.
Put your mama in the hole.
Just be bending over with her ass up in the window. You just put your mama in a hole.
Yeah.
Black people don't do that.
Hey, Mr. Mitchell, what's going on? Yeah, I'm good. You don't see that dog doing your yard? You just don't see it. You just don't
right
leave,
in
it.
You leave it there.
You need a pooper scooper. Stuff we we say to our neighbors under our breath, Junior?
Hey, what's up, Curtis? Hey, Keisha, what's going on?
Curtis.
All right, now. Ain't no way in the world no better than that damn loud. He ain't killing that. Way too much noise.
You been hearing him.
I don't even know how they touched both their stomachs. Is that? All right, man, no, I'm good, man.
Come on, nephew. Stuff we say to our neighbors under our breath.
Conley, yard's looking good. Looking real good. You come over this line, though. You come over this line. One more time with that damn lawnmower. I'm telling you now. You know where the damn line is. I know you know where the line is. You know my side. You know your damn side. You keep on doing it.
Line,
boy, that property line means something.
That do, it really do, man.
It's invisible, really, but it means something.
You know where that line is, right?
Man, that's my line.
All right, I think we have time for two more. Jay and then Steve, close it out. Stuff we say to our neighbors under our breath. Let's go.
Come yeah. On, hey! Hey! What's going on? Yeah, I'm good. Ooh, she whooped your ass last night.
They got into a fight.
She, what? She told it. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Come on, Steve. Close it out. Stuff we say to our
neighbors. Take
him
home, dog.
Rita, Sydney. Hey. Could have invited me over to the little stank ass party.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They had barbecue and everything.
That's the one barbecue and everything.
I know you ran out of room over there, but getting that patio you done built.
I came over.
I love it.
All right, guys. Thank you. That was good. Thank you. Coming up next is the nephew and Run That Prank Back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about Vince Carter and the Sacramento Kings. They are working with Black Lives Matter now. Plus, Miss Ann will be here with our national news. But right now, it is time for the nephew to run that prank back. What you got, Neff?
Your wife is having a black baby.
Oh, yeah. Lord, not yeah. This one again.
Yeah.
Oh, this one is crazy right
see,
here.
When you call a white folk, you got to call them with something. That gets your attention right there. Your wife is having a black baby. Run it, Kat.
Hello?
Hello, I'm looking for a William...
This Mr.
How you doing? Listen, my name is Simmons. I was, I don't know how to... oh, man. My wife and I evidently go to the same... fertility specialist that you and your wife go to, Dr. Are you familiar with Dr.?
I'm familiar with Dr., but that's supposed to be confidential.
Yeah, I'm aware of that as well, sir. My wife is out on business right now. She's gone for, won't be back until Tuesday, but I got a call today, a very disturbing phone call, and wanted to, you know, I looked your number up. They did tell me what was going on, and kind of wanted to let you...
Somebody told you my number? You got my number from somebody?
No, I looked up your number. Here it is in a nutshell. My wife and I, evidently, you and your wife have been going through the same type of problems of trying to get pregnant and so forth and so on. And from my understanding, your wife is, what, 4 or 5 months pregnant? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Yeah, my wife is exactly 5 months pregnant, but I'm still confused on how you're getting in touch with me and what this has to do with me.
Well...
I mean, all that stuff that we've gone through is totally confidential, and I'm kind of offended that you're calling me.
I understand that. Well, what's happening is I got a phone call from the doctor's office today. It seems like there's been a huge mistake by the doctor's office. Evidently, your wife has been artificially inseminated with my seed, and I was...
What?
I mean, I'm just as disturbed as you are. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, me and my wife are, you know, my wife is 2 months pregnant. And finally.
How could they do something like that? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
I have no idea. All I know is that, you know, I hate to use the expression, but I'm your wife's baby's daddy. And.
No. Okay. Wait a minute. That doesn't happen. No way.
Sir, I'm trying to make sure I bring the news to you and see if there's anything that we can do to. I mean, after being 5 months pregnant, it's kind of hard to rectify the problem. So
okay, I don't want this to sound rude, and I don't want this to sound wrong. You said baby daddy. Are you black?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Black, and my wife is going to have a black baby?
Well, yeah, your wife is going to have a black baby, but what I want you to know is I'm not paying no child support. That's
you're
what...
You're about child support? And my wife is having some other black dude's kid? Are you crazy?
No, I'm not...
Are you out of your mind?
No, I'm not out of my mind. I'm just saying, I didn't lay down and conceive a child with your wife, so I'm making sure I'm not going to be paying no child support.
Man, I'm not even worried about the child support. I'll pay the child support. I'm worried about some doctor making a huge mistake and oh my God.
Your wife is
having... going to have a black baby. I can't believe that. This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I can't believe you didn't even call my house.
What?
And give me this. Doctor should give me this.
Well, don't you want it? It doesn't matter who gives you the news as long as you get the news. Now, what I want you to do is this. Please don't be giving the baby no white names and stuff.
White names. I can't believe that you're so... This is incredible. Incredible. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Call me on Sunday. Give me that. I'm ready to go crazy. This is crazy.
Okay. This is no reason to be violent, sir. You see what I'm saying? This already lets me...
to be violent. You're worried about me about paying child support and talking about your seed and your baby's daddy and all that. Oh, man, this is bringing the best out of me. I can promise you. Unbelievable, man.
Let me ask you something, sir. Do you think you may need anger management? I mean, you're not going to... You're not going to beat my child, are you?
Oh, man. You know how to push man's buttons. I can promise you, man. That's crazy. No, I ain't gonna beat nobody's baby. I got crazy.
See, I don't want you being violent to me and your wife's baby.
Spin this thing around, huh? Man, where the do you live, man? Who the is this?
Okay.
Who the is this? Because this is crazy.
Well, here's what I'm gonna ask you. Do you think you might want to be the godfather to the child?
To my own kid? No. Well, I guess it wouldn't be my kid.
It's me and your wife's child.
Don't you say that. That drives me even thinking about something like that.
It's
don't
me.
Don't you talk about something like that.
But it's me and your wife's child.
No, it ain't you and my wife. It was a mistake. So don't you even talk like that, you crazy. I'll tear a hole in your head. Don't you talk like that.
Okay. You're going to tear a hole in whose head?
In your head, you crazy.
See that? This
call me up.
This is the kind of thing I don't want my child around. This type of talk, this type of violence. See, you white folks get mad and want to kill everybody in the room. Won't you kill who you mad at? Why do y'all do that?
You. Who the this man?
Can I say one more thing to you? Can I do that?
I don't know if I can take any more news from you, man. I'm jumped through the phone.
I got one more thing to say to you. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your wife.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm gonna kill that. Oh, man. Oh, it took us so long to try to get pregnant. She's going to play a game like this. That's wrong. You got me, man. You freaking got me, man. Yeah, we listen to the Steve Harvey Radio Show all the time, man. That's awesome. You guys are great. Oh, man. I'm going to go find her and give her a big kiss. I'm going to do that for her. God.
All right, man. I got
you
one.
Son of a
I got one more question for you, baby. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Radio Show in the Morning.
How y'all feel about me today?
Woo. You got his attention, all right. That's what you wanted to do.
Your wife is having a black baby.
Don't say that no more.
Man.
You said baby's mama. Are you black?
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
It's going down April 5th, 6th, and 7th. The nephew is coming to Lexington, Kentucky. Comedy off Broadway. Comedy off Broadway. 5th, 6th, 7th of April. Tickets on sale right now. Can I ask one question?
Yeah, of course.
Is this a mentoring question?
No, this ain't. This is just something that bothered me. If you're in the checkout line and it's only 15 items, and somebody in front of you got 20, 22 items, shouldn't I have the right to slap the hell out of them on each item?
Yeah, you can, but I do it all the time when I used to go in there. Yeah.
What?
I go in there. I have a cart full of stuff. I go right over to the 15, and I tell the lady, okay, just ring them up. She counted 15. And I say, okay, now, ring a 15 more.
You separate?
15 at a time, right?
15 at a time.
You put the divider down, don't you?
Yeah. Buy 60 items.
I love those dividers.
60 items? Yeah, we just going to do 15 four times. Ain't no problem. I promise you I'm not. I go to the express line every time I go to Whole Foods.
Wow.
I walk right over there to it. I don't give a damn what I got.
He's the guy.
If you're ever in front of me, I'm going to slap the hell out of you.
Steve Harvey, oh, my God. Yeah, that's good. Whatever.
All right, coming up.
I don't come in here but once a quarter.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann is going to be here with our national news. And the Sacramento Kings will not shut up and dribble. We'll tell you what they're doing right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Yesterday was a memorial service slash funeral of the 22-year-old Stephon Clark out of Sacramento, the unarmed black man who was fatally shot by the Sacramento police on March 18th. His death has sparked outrage from residents in the Sacramento community, while the Sacramento Kings have announced they're partnering with the Build, Black Coalition, and Black Lives Matter Sacramento. The partnership, yes, the partnership is to help fundamentally transform black communities through deep investment in black youth in Sacramento. This is according to the Kings press release. One part of this partnership involves the Kings creating an education fund for Stephon Clark's children, which is fantastic because he left behind two young sons. This fund cannot fix the issue that led to the death of their father, but it will secure opportunities for their futures while the family and the city grapples with healing, said the Kings. Also, later on today, there will be a forum sponsored by Vince Carter, Garrett Temple, and Doug Christie, and city leaders to create conversation about Sacramento's black community, police violence, and people dealing with grief over Stephon Clark's killing. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
We have
getting involved. Yeah.
Police trained to apprehend suspects that are non-white. Apprehending a suspect who is non-white should be a specific type of training because it doesn't occur regular enough. If you assume he has a gun, you immediately go to killing and shooting. It's just, what happened to shoot him in the leg, slow him down? What happened to let me see your hands? What happened to get on your knees, put your hands behind your head? I'm sure the guy would have complied. But if you just walk in shooting, because you've been shooting at these black targets on this white piece of paper, and all you got is kill shots. You don't know how to shoot to wound. It's two of y'all. Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
It was four for this one. It was like four. It doesn't matter how many. They're going to shoot to kill all the time.
Yep.
It does not matter.
That appears to be the case, Jay. Mm-hmm. Every time they aim,
always end up dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah. And they always say, like you said yesterday, Steve, they always say, we feared for our lives, the cops.
That's it. Yeah. They scared.
On duty, mm-hmm. While on duty.
Yeah.
As soon as they approach a black person, they immediately, they scared.
But you know what,
Carla? And you're scared, too, when they stop you.
Black people.
Man.
Man, everybody's scared.
Everybody's scared.
You know what, Carla? You brought up a good point a couple of days ago, I think, about, you know, we forget about Colin Kaepernick. This is why
I said
he,
that.
Yeah.
Now you see why Colin Kaepernick
was kneeling.
This is why. This constantly happens over and over and over. And they tried to spin it, what Colin was doing. But this is why. Here we are again.
Yeah.
Same scenario. Right here.
This
never
is why he took
the
knee.
Never suspension.
Yeah.
Never, nothing. Nothing ever happens.
Yeah. He did not take a knee to protect, you know, to against the flag or against our military. That's not what it was about.
Services.
This is what it was about. Police brutality and killing.
Yeah.
These senseless shootings.
Yeah.
And killings.
And we're tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're
really
tired of it. And shout out to the Sacramento Kings,
Vince Carter.
Big ups to
him.
Caring about
Garrett Temple.
Yeah. Will not shut up and dribble. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Let's move on to our news, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much. This is Antrip with the news. And let's talk about Sacramento. In Sacramento, California, yesterday, a funeral service was held for the young man they were just talking about seconds ago. The young man shot to death in his own backyard last week, holding merely a cell phone. His name was Stephon Clark, and the Reverend Al Sharpton told a packed church that people all over the country want justice.
This is not a Sacramento fight. This is a national fight. Stephon has woke up the nation. Muslim, Christian, Baptist, Methodist, Church of God in Christ, we all stand with Stephon Clark. We're going to make Donald Trump and the whole world deal with the issue of police misconduct. We must stand for justice.
Prosecutors want the two cops, want the two cops involved in Stephon's killing officially charged with murder. And Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn says he's asked the California Department of Justice to conduct an independent probe of the incident. Now, Hahn is the first African-American to hold the position of chief. He says it was the best way to go at this point.
Due to the nature of this investigation, the extremely high emotions, anger, and hurt in our city, I felt it was the best interest of our entire community, including the members of our police department.
Meanwhile, the Sacramento Kings have announced that the team's establishing a fund for Stephon Clark's two children and will co-sponsoring a forum in Sacramento later today to kind of talk it out with a lot of folks. Looks like a case of political tit for tat. Last week, the Trump administration expelled 60 Russian diplomats, and now the Kremlin says it's pushing 60 American diplomats out and closing up the U.S. consulate in St. Petersburg. The diplomats reportedly have to leave by the end of the week, and the consulate has to be vacated by Saturday. Tomorrow, the Russians say they're doing the same thing to every other country. They recently expelled their diplomats over suspicions that Moscow was behind a nerve gas attack on a retired spy and his daughter in England early this month. The State Department spokesperson Heather Nauer says Moscow's acting like the victim when it's not.
There is no justification for the Russian response. Our actions were motivated purely by the attack on the United Kingdom, the attack on a British citizen, and his daughter.
Both remain hospitalized, by the way. Nauer says that the U.S., quote, reserves the right to take further action now against Russia. A former FBI agent in Minneapolis charged with leaking classified information to a news website. The person we were talking about, Terry Albury, is charged with one count of knowingly transmitting documents and information. Albury is the only black FBI field agent in Minnesota. His lawyer says his actions were driven by a, quote, conscientious commitment to long-term national security in addressing the well-documented systematic biases within the FBI. Today, by the way, is I'm in Control Day. Tell about it, Janet.
It's all about control.
More entertainment coming up. Today's trending topics as well. 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so Steve is here, of course, with things you'll see on Easter Sunday.
I've been going to church a lot of years on Easter, and it's the most fascinating time for me. Because you see stuff at the church that you really shouldn't see.
No, really.
Like people in lime green
that
should not be in lime green.
You're wrong for this.
I mean, it's shocking.
A little bit of lime goes a long way.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Not a lot.
But you got that little baby, beautiful black baby, walking around with that Day Glow lemon yellow dress on.
Day Glow lemon yellow.
You're going to see colors that you did not know existed. I mean, you just, what is that, purplish?
What?
Purplish.
What is that, purplish?
That's orange and purple.
Binding colors.
Yeah, that's when you be going, what is that? That's orangutan.
No.
Orangutan. You just don't know what's going on. You gonna see little boys with knickers on because they mama thought it was cute.
Yeah.
And little boy can't go around the rest of them boys. What's your punk ass doing with them pants on?
Why your pants don't touch your
what
ankle?
Is you? You a pilgrim?
A pilgrim.
Here's something else you gonna see way way too many barrettes in this baby's head.
Oh, I've seen that.
It's just way too many damn barrettes in this baby head. Just baby over, walking over around just clacking. Her head heavy. She crying.
She got a headache.
Here's something you're going to see at somebody's house.
What?
That's just too much damn pineapple on that head.
Oh, yeah.
Shouldn't have been here with all this damn pineapple. Where the ham at?
You can't see the ham.
Trying to disguise this dry ass ham.
What else, Steve, you going to see?
You going to see an Easter bunny. Mm. In street shoes.
Oh,
he gonna have because you know in the hood you don't have the money for the feet too. Yeah, you don't have the bunny feet
for the entire album.
He just up in here with some black Tom McCann street shoes on. He got some Floshams on.
New Balance.
No, Floshams. No, no, street shoes, baby. Heels. Floshams. You're going to see a fat man with a too small jacket on and a little man with a too big jacket on.
Yep, you always see that. All right, coming up at 34 after the hour, J. Anthony Brown is here to murder another hit.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, he's here. Please introduce J. Anthony Brown to
me. J. Anthony Brown.
Come on, Jay.
All right, you can check me out, St. Petersburg, Florida, Palladium, April the 7th. J. Spot Comedy Club on Tuesday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. In keeping with the vein of Easter, Steve, that you have, why not do an Easter song that's going to set it off, that's going to say it all, because it's the day we go crazy with what we have to wear. Hit it.
All right, fellas, I know it's Easter time. I know you're laying that stuff out on the bed. Standing back in the drawer, saying to yourself, wait till they see me in this. Shoes down at the bottom, hat at the top of your suit. Got your shirt up under the suit. You ready? You gonna kill them. It's Easter Sunday.
Be blind.
And you know they're in the mirror going, huh?
Laid it out the night before.
I'm finna kill him. I'm finna kill him.
Just gonna hurt him on Easter.
Boy, I remember one year, man, I got me a white suit. My mama told me, boy, I don't want you to get no white suit. Mm-hmm. I had paper out. I'm getting a white suit. White suit, I only had one pair of shoes. They was black. So I wanted a black shirt. Couldn't find a black shirt. Bought a white shirt and a box of Rit dye.
Tried to dye
and it. And dyed it. I dyed the shirt. In church, got hot. The dye bleeding out the shirt into the suit.
What? Your mother told you.
She told you.
I'm sitting up in here, man, with this cheap ass shirt I got on. It's sweating. It's leaking. The dye is leaking onto the suit.
That's crazy.
I was so hurt. Now my suit got these gray blotches on it.
Oh, man.
And you know, this is way before camouflage. You know, I could not play at all.
It's all going down Easter. You're absolutely right, man. Mm-hmm.
I wear jeans on Easter.
Crowded. It's too crowded.
You wear jeans on Easter?
I wear jeans on Easter, man. Let everybody else wear all, And I try to go to the earliest service they got.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. They used to have sunrise service.
Yeah. This is the show. Sunrise.
Y'all know, look, Shirley, don't act surprised. You know HR, he try to act eccentric.
What's HR? What? Human HR. Resources?
Mm-mm, half rich.
Oh, man.
What they got to do with what he wear to church for Easter, though?
I mean, why you tell us that? I wear jeans on church, you know.
I'm do. Different.
I wear jeans.
A lot of people wear jeans.
Yeah, a lot of people do. Well,
back in Cleveland, Kate would have beat your ass. You'd have put some jeans on track.
But just by the way I was raised, I can't. It's hard to do that still.
Yeah, it didn't change, but you know.
But it's church has changed.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
I can't wear jeans at church. No.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
I mean, it's better that people can come to church as they are.
As you are.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, but it ain't increased traffic at church. You think it's more people going to church now than then?
With Trump in the White House? Yep.
All right, the nephew has a prank phone call coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. But up next is the nephew. He's here with today's prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
My dog. That's it. My dog.
That's it? Man. I thought you were going to say something after that. Yeah.
My dog. Run it.
Hello?
Hello. Is this apartment 18C?
Yeah, this 18C.
Hey, man, my name's Virgil. Who is this right here? Who is this?
You speaking to Marcus? What's going on?
Okay, Marcus, let me ask you something, man. Y'all done messed up. Y'all done got Apollo arrested last night on some trumped-up charges, man.
Hold on, I'm lost here. What is this you talking about?
You got Apollo arrested last night on some trumped-up charges.
Whoa. Are you sure you dialed the right number, man?
I got the right number, man. You and 18C, ain't you?
Yeah, okay, this 18C. Now tell me, now what is this about Apollo? Who is Apollo? I don't know what you're talking about.
Y'all got Apollo arrested last night on some trumped-up charges. You know, now he downtown, and evidently somebody pressing charges. So now I got to figure out how I'm gonna get Apollo out of jail.
Hold on, this don't make no sense
right here, man. I need y'all to go downtown and go on and drop these charges so Apollo can come home.
Pump the brakes, boss. Listen what you're saying now. You calling me about somebody that I don't even know. I don't know no Apollo. You know, I apologize for your homeboy and everything that's going down, but I don't know nobody named Apollo. I really don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. So,
okay,
you know.
So y'all ain't called the police last night.
Ain't nobody called no police.
You ain't called. You're going to sit here and lie to me and tell me you ain't called no police last night.
Let's take this back. Now what's your name, man?
My name is Virgil.
And now how you come about getting my number?
Don't worry about how I got your number. I got it. I know you the one got Apollo arrested on these trumped up charges.
Don't worry. Now, hold on. How you know? How you know where I live?
Because I live above you. I live in 19C.
19C. So, are you the one that got the loud barking dog all hours
of
the night?
That's Apollo. My dog is Apollo.
My God. Apollo, man, you got me thinking that you talking about some human being. You sitting here calling me about some animal, some dog?
They arrested my dog
first of all.
Nah, evidently you pressing charge. Hey, listen, you going down there to get my dog out of jail, man.
Evidently, you need to listen to what you talking about, man. You calling me about some animal? Listen, we call the front desk people about disturbance. Every time we look around, we hear your dog. So you might need to take it over with whoever that's in charge with the apartment complex, because that's who we inform about your loud dog. Now, you know, you calling me, how you got my number, I don't know. But you need to check this out and talk with the people that's in charge of the apartment complex.
I'm taking it up with the person that filed a complaint and got my dog arrested last night. Now, my dog down there on some trumped up charges.
Really?
They didn't even read Apollo his rights or nothing like that.
Really? You really talking? Listen what you're saying, man.
Out the house, man. And it's all this cause of you.
Man, I think you need to you need some counseling or something, boss, because you talking about a dog. How can a dog get arrested? You need to this is crazy. Listen, I don't think we got anything else to talk about, man, because
yeah, we got to talk about Apollo, man, and how you going to go down there and get him out of jail, and you need to have him back by here this evening. I ain't finna go through this without my dog being here.
This man sounds crazy. Baby, this man calling me about a dog being arrested. This is the dog that be barking.
It's Apollo, man. Apollo is a family member, and you done got him arrested, man. For what?
Hey, man,
why would you do something like that?
Man, how about this? You and that dog. Don't be calling me no more talking to me about some dog that I ain't got no control over. You need to take this up with the police or whoever called. Ain't nobody calling no police.
Did you just say Apollo?
Man, listen.
Did you just say that?
You heard what I said.
Okay. Hey, man, I'm not trying to argue. Okay, look. Let's just do this here. Is it any way you could just come down there with me this evening and drop the charge?
Come down where?
Down to the police station, man, where Apollo at, dog.
Look.
He down, listen. Okay, I'm not trying to holler. He down there on some trumped-up charge. You can't even pick him out in a lineup if you want. Apollo clean.
I can't believe it.
He got
it.
No prior convictions, man.
Listen, man. Do you really hear what you're saying? Now, I know they say best friend is a dog, but you taking this a little bit too far. Now, you need to really listen to what you're talking about. You need to handle all this, what you got a problem with the folks at the front desk and the police if they do got your dog. This really don't make any sense right now to me. Now, I apologize once again about your dog, but I think we have our business finished right now.
Hey, man,
let me tell you something.
I'm going to tell you this right here, okay? Marcus, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you this here. You try to testify against him. Try to testify against Apollo and see what happens.
What in the world are you? Listen, man, I'm going to tell you like this. You, Apollo, anything else that you got to say about this situation right here. You found my number. You know where I live. You just come see me.
You really want that?
I'm about to be through with this phone call, man.
I tell you what. Let me say this right here. I'm gonna say this right here to you. You try to get on the stand and testify against Apollo, and I promise you, dog, you're gonna have some problems on your hands. You hear me?
Listen, you really talking some nonsense right now. Do you really hear what you saying to me? Apollo is a dog.
I know he a dog. He my dog. You know what? I tell you what. Hey man, how that pretty little wife of yours doing? The one that be at home while you going to work all day.
You just say to me?
How is that pretty little wife of yours that be gone, that be at home when you gone to work?
What's your name?
I already told you my name, Virgil.
Check this. 19C, where you at, right? Please believe that's where we about to meet right now. Because now the nail finna come up here talking to me about my wife. So if it's any other dog you got up in the place, please believe that dog's going to get up right along with your.
Okay. Well, I got one more thing you told you.
Man, you
one thing you need to know
to
before
me,
you get here.
You ain't got to say to me, because you and took this a little too far around with me and a dog. Now you trying to talk about what's going on in my household and my wife? Please believe 19C is where you about to find me.
Okay, well, let me tell you who else up here in 19C that's waiting on you.
All of them about to get up. Who else is all up in 19C?
Okay, well, let me tell you who else in here. You want to know who else in here?
Man,
I'm finna tell you this here. Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show is up in here in 19C.
What the hell? This nephew Tommy. Man, you got me cussing, man. My mama be listening to this station.
Your neighbor Gerald got
Gerald
me to prank you about the neighbor downstairs.
Man. Oh, man.
Hey, man, you got to tell me this, baby. What's the baddest radio station in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show and nephew Tommy's crazy. I can't believe it.
You ain't going to just call the popo on my dog. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Fine, you got a point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who you think you is?
Ooh, any day now, nephew, it's going down.
You call the popos on my dog. You understand?
You're breaking people about their dogs
any
now?
Any day now.
Please call me when it happens.
You don't be nervous in that time?
I know y'all better not be with me and watch me get jumped. I know that better.
Walk right on off.
He prank nobody.
I'm not gonna get an ass whooping. Y'all just ain't big. You better not.
I ain't prank nobody.
First person that slap you, I'm gonna be on the floor.
That's the first thing coming up my mind. I ain't prank nobody.
Yeah. Hey, Tommy, do you ever feel bad about pranking anybody?
Not at all. Never.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Never.
Because you think you make amends at the end when you finally come clean and tell them.
I'm putting a smile on their face.
And you sleep well at night?
Yes. Go right to sleep. Yes.
Like a baby, huh?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and I think y'all need to be prank supporters. Hello.
Oh, we support you. We love your pranks. But what you say, Team Tommy J?
I ain't pranking nobody.
April 5th, 6th, 7th, Lexington, Kentucky, the nephew coming to town. Comedy off Broadway, tickets on sale right now. That's April 5, 6, 7, right after Easter. Matter of fact, come on in there with me with your Easter suit on. You can wear it again. That way you get, you know, get a little bit more usage out of it. Yeah.
I ain't praying nobody.
All right, listen, in about an hour, Tyler Perry will be our special guest. All right, he's going to talk about his new movie, Acrimony. But on deck, it is today's Strawberry Letter.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, before we get to today's Strawberry Letter, coming up at 41 after the hour, the one and only Tyler Perry will be our special guest. He's going to tell us about his brand new movie, Acrimony. Of course, it stars Taraji P. Henson. It's in theaters right now. Can't wait to see this movie. It looks good.
I didn't know what that word meant.
Don't feel bad.
Yeah, a lot of people, yeah.
I don't know what it meant, but I don't have to. I lived it. Hell,
bitter
I
and angry.
You could call it acrimony. You could call it matrimony. You could just call it agony.
Okay, give me all the onies. So you got acrimony.
Alimony. Testimony.
Matrimony. Testimony. Whoa, don't say matrimony. Go ahead.
Testimony.
Palimony in the state of California.
What is palimony?
Oh, that's when you move in and you can't get them out. It's called palimony.
You just shack together, and then if your partner wants to move out because they've lived with you for so long, they can get like...
You have to go to court to get them out your residence.
What?
Yeah,
because
they live there.
And
that, can't they get something? It's like alimony, but it's called palimony because you guys weren't married.
Yeah.
But
married.
You lived together.
Well,
you lived together
and
you were in a relationship. Right.
Yeah.
Common law. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the
really
compensation for it. Yeah.
That's what, Tommy?
That's seximony. So that's basically what y'all were doing. It's seximony.
Yeah, but you were acting as though you were married, as if you were married.
She gets her mail at your house. You guys introduce yourself as a couple.
Yeah.
That's why I checked it. That's why I checked the mail. If I see a name, I'll throw it out.
Throw it out.
Anything come for me? Mm-mm.
That's why I believe in motel money. That's what I know.
What happened?
Motel money.
You don't have them at your house, Jay.
And is alimony forever?
It has it's a time limit on it. Yeah.
All right, I'm ready, guys. Cool.
Let me ask the special.
Yeah. See, we're just talking about alimony.
Alimony forever?
I paid that too. It depends.
Oh, you can get it forever. Depends on what kind of deal
if
you
in in California, mm-hmm. if you in Texas, you mm-hmm. have to be married 10 years to get it. Mm-hmm. If you're married 9 years, you only have to pay 3 years.
So when you get married, you be getting out at 8, huh?
Well, thank God I didn't make 10.
Numbers man, ain't he?
Let's just say
boy,
that.
Boy, that boy no ma'am, bro.
Don't even.
Amazing.
Don't say well, after all this.
Man,
would,
it's
would
amazing
you?
The stuff I know
yeah,
that
I
don't
know.
Really want to know. I don't really want to know that.
From going through it, you know it now.
Dog. Save yourself some time and pain.
Numbers.
Was y'all talking about palimony?
We're talking about palimony.
Palimony. It's when you hope one of your pals want it. And just take it off,
take
your,
it off
hand.
Your hand.
Man. Please take her.
Man, please.
Wow.
I just tried it, man. What else y'all want to know about?
So what's alimony in California?
Adamoni.
Yeah. That's when you be out of money.
Out of money.
Yeah. Out of money.
I'm seriously, California's the worst state.
It is the worst.
Yeah.
It is the worst state for marriage and divorce.
Mm. For men, for women, it's pretty good, right? Because you're the recipient of the alimony in Palomar.
Like if you're the successful woman in California and your husband's not, he's jackpot.
Yeah, you'll have to pay. Mm.
Yeah.
I'll probably go to prison.
It's sad, though.
Yeah, I'd probably go to prison. Okay.
All right, let's go.
Buckle
up and hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the Strawberry Letter.
So, Subject, sick of my husband.
All right, now. I heard this one before.
You're no longer married. Stephen Shirley, I met my husband on a blind date, and eventually we got married. Now, by no means am I perfect, and I don't make myself out to be perfect. We've been married for 6 years, and we have two children together, a son who's 5, a daughter who's 1, and I have a son, my oldest, who is 13, from a previous relationship. Now, I have bent over backwards for this man, and he has just been a jerk the whole time we've been married. He talks to me like I'm a child. He tells me what I can and can't wear. He says that my breasts are hanging out always, and he is tired of talking to me about my clothes. He says that I don't know how to talk to him. He says I should not be raising my voice at him and that I need to respect him. He yells at me all the time. My wedding ring was taken by a maintenance worker that came into our apartment to do some work, and that was over 4 years ago, and he has not replaced it. Said that he did not lose it, so why should he replace it? But he gets pissed off when I don't wear anything on my finger. He says that I only do that when I get angry at him. We have been separated, I am sure, 5 or 6 times into the course of our marriage. The second time, before the last, he took me to court so he could get custody of our son, stood there and told the judge that he did not think that his son was safe with me and that I was not taking any medication, which I was not on, and did not feel that my oldest was safe either. The sheriff came to my house, took my son from me, and the last time it lasted for about 6 months. In those 6 months, I was not getting any help from him financially, and I had to give my only means of transportation back to the finance company because I could not afford the note on my own. I was really trying to make this work, but I am not sure that I want to be in this marriage anymore, but I stay for the kids. My husband always would say that I would never meet anyone or be with anyone because I have kids. What do you think I should do? I wanted to make my marriage work, but I am not sure if this is just one of those marriages that will never work. Signed, what should I do? Dear, what should I do? I know. Man. This letter, to me, begs the question, where is the love? This is a mess. Love, I mean, really, you guys don't even like each other. You know, you say you've been over backwards for him and he's been a jerk the whole time of your marriage. My question to you is, why have you allowed him to treat you this way for 6 years? You raise your voice at him. He yells at you and says you need to respect him. How come, you know, you guys don't respect each other and yourselves enough not to treat each other this way? You met him on a blind date and eventually you guys got married. I don't know what that means. You know, I got to ask you, did you know him at all when you got married? And then why did you get married to him? Why did he marry you? I mean, for this really isn't what marriage is about. He's lying to the court. You know, they're taking the kids away. This is a real mess. What are you guys doing? You've been separated 5 or 6 times. You could be right. You could be right. This marriage may never work. You're staying for the kids. You know, if you guys are going to go at it like this, nobody is going to win in this situation, especially the kids. I suggest you guys seek counseling, you know, or something. Do you have a job? I don't know what's going on here, but you're going to have to get yourself together and move on if you don't think this is right, if you guys can't get along and respect and love each other, and it doesn't sound like you can. What?
I just say this.
Hey, we can agree to disagree, you know.
But when you said that the lady was stalking the man.
We'll have part 2 of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, get ready for the All-Star Television event of Easter Sunday. Jesus Christ Superstar live in concert. It stars Grammy and Oscar winner John Legend as Jesus, singer-songwriter Sarah Bareilles as Mary Magdalene, Alice Cooper as King Herod, and Brandon Victor Dixon as Judas. You don't want to miss this powerful story of the last days of Jesus and the passion of the greatest story ever told. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind event, Jesus Christ Superstar Live, this Sunday on NBC.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, Tyler Perry will be our special guest. He's going to tell us about this brand new movie, Acrimony, in theaters right now. Please go check it out. But right now, too, come on, Steve, with part 2 of your response to today's Strawberry Letter.
Sick of my husband. Steve and Shirley, I met my husband on a blind date and eventually we got married. Now, by no means am I perfect and I don't make myself out to be perfect. We've been married for 6 years. We have 2 children together, a son who is 5 and a daughter who is 1. And I have a son, my oldest, who is 13 from a previous relationship. Now, I've been over backwards for this man and he has just been a jerk the whole time that we have been married. He talks to me like I'm a child. He tells me what I can and can't wear. He says that my breasts are always out and he's tired of talking to me about my clothes. He said that I don't know how to talk to him. He says that I should not be raising my voice at him and when I need to respect him. He yells at me all the time. My wedding ring was taken by a maintenance worker that came into our apartment to do some work and that was over 4 years ago and he has not replaced it. Said that he ain't lose it, so why should he replace it? But he gets pissed off when I don't wear anything on my finger. He says that I only do that when I get angry with him. We've been separated, I'm sure, 5 or 6 times in the course of our marriage. The second time before the last, he took me to court so he could get custody of our son. Stood there and told the judge that he didn't think that his son was safe with me. And I was not taking my medication, which I was not on, and did not feel that my oldest son was safe either. The sheriff came to my house, took my son from me, and the last time it lasted about 6 months. And in those 6 months, I have not been getting any help from him financially. I've had to give him only means of transportation back to the finance company because I could not afford the note on my own. I was really trying to work.
Come on, breathe. I'm not sure that I want
to be in this marriage anymore, but I stay for my kids.
Stop.
My husband always says that I would never meet anyone or be with anyone because I have kids. What do you think I should do? I want to make my marriage work, but I am not sure if this is just one of those marriages that will never work. Sign, what should I do? This is a crazy person writing a letter about a crazy person, which can only lead to a crazy response.
From a crazy person.
Subject, sick of my husband. Sound to me like he's sick of your ass, too. So now we just got a letter full of sick ass people. You sick of him, he's sick of you. You talking to him loud, he talking back loud. You disrespecting him when you talk, he disrespecting you when you talk. He say you got your breasts hanging out, and I can assure you, your breasts is hanging out. He tired of talking to you about your clothes. You wear what the hell you want to wear.
That's right.
You got kids, he got you. The maintenance man stole your ring. You want him to replace it. He say, what the hell I got to replace it for? I ain't losing.
I didn't lose it.
Y'all been separated 5 or 6 times. You don't even show what number it is. You only been married 5 years, been separated 6 times. That's every 6 months y'all ass go somewhere.
You've been married 6 years.
Your husband went to court, told him you wasn't taking your medication. You said, which I was not on. You should have said at the time.
There you go.
Because I can assure you, you taking some medicine.
At some point.
And he know you taking some medicine. You know you taking medicine? Because at the top of the letter, you said, by no means am I perfect and don't make myself out to be perfect. Anybody put a disclaimer at the top of the letter, is something wrong at the bottom of the letter. Now, lady... Then, after all this craziness, they done took your sons, all this, you done had to take your car back. That's another crazy person move.
A mess.
The repo man got to find my car. I ain't carrying it back down to the finance company. I ain't paid you, but I bet
crazy.
You can't find it.
She gave Come her on. Car back.
I parked my 76 Tempo all over the city. I parked it in so many places, I wake up and forgot where the hell it was.
Well, that's
I done
crazy.
Ride a bus all around the city trying to remember where the hell I parked that car. Keep it from the repo man. You crazy for taking your car back down there. Here's another crazy.
Crazy.
After
crazy.
All this,
did you write the letter?
You're not sure you want this marriage anymore. Oh, you ain't, huh? Well, let me ask you a question, crazy lady.
What marriage?
What else can go wrong in the relationship?
Right.
Come on.
Lady, you don't know if you want this marriage to work anymore. The marriage ain't working.
Mm-mm.
Your husband told you that you'll never be able to meet anybody because you got kids. But you staying in the relationship because of the kids. hello. Are you listening to any of the letter you typed? I'm not sure if this is just one of those marriages that will never work. Sign.
Nope.
What should I do? What you think you ought to do?
it looked pretty clear to me.
Mm-hmm. Get out.
Get out. Look at his face. Look at his
eyes. Tell him, dog.
I'd say,
this is a mess.
Steal his car.
What?
Hide it from him. Go to court. Tell the judge he took your medicine.
Steve.
And now what? The kids ain't safe with him. Because he is now taking your medicine.
Flip the script.
Get the kids and roll out in his car.
You are crazy, okay? You are crazy for real.
Go to Alaska.
Well, Alaska.
And set up a store selling beaver pelts.
Selling what?
And pray that he never hunts y'all down.
Okay.
And finds you and the kids.
All right, Steve, we got to get out of here. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. And thanks to everyone who joined me yesterday for the Strawberry Letter live after show. Always enjoy having you. Switching gears now, the men's NCAA Final Four is this weekend San Antonio. Loyola Chicago versus Michigan.
That's it. Shut it down.
That's okay.
It. Loyola Chicago is who I'm pulling for.
Can I do a shout out real quick to the Lady Gamecocks who tried, but they didn't really
make
it.
Yeah, they're out of it.
They're out of it. They back at the house. We still love
you. We were pulling
for them. You know, we're on all that. You know, you lose, you know, we ain't got time for that.
We just want to talk about what's going on.
I just wanted to give them a
shout out. Yeah, well, you gave them a shout out.
But what about
you shouted and they out. Now.
All right, coming up in 10 minutes, Tyler Perry will be our special guest. He's going to tell us all about his brand new movie, Acrimony, in theaters now.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Everybody, as promised, our special guest this morning, he's a family member. He sits in on the show. That's all it is. He needs no introduction. He is a mogul, movie producing, real estate, juggernaut. Studio owner, you can't say that about a lot of people. Studio owner, everything, daddy,
director, writer, producer,
singer,
all that,
singer, dancer,
actor,
skydiver.
Pimp. I have actually seen him pimp.
You've seen Tyler pimp?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, what you think the P is for? Put your hands together for Tyler, Pimp Man Perry.
Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Mr.
Listen,
Perry.
Don't say skydiving. I'm sitting in the window sill on the 60th floor of a hotel right now. Don't say that. Don't say that.
Wow. Hey, Tyler, welcome back. We love you.
Thank you. I love y'all too, man. And I do feel like family every time I call in, every time I'm there, every time I'm with y'all, man. It's really awesome. So thank you,
man. Well, let's get to it, man. You got a new movie out.
Yeah.
It's a suspense thriller starring Taraji P. Henson. The movie's called Acrimony. Mm-hmm. It's in theaters now, y'all. And the theme of the movie is.
Say it, Steve.
Don't do
say
it wrong.
Let me pull myself together.
Say it.
The theme of the movie is hell.
Come on.
Hath no fury.
Come on.
Like a woman scorned.
Yes,
or a woman
sir.
With
preach,
a hammer.
Preach, preacher.
Let's sign out. Y'all give it up for Tyler Perry.
TP.
Yes,
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
Man,
I can tell you right now, y'all ain't, if people think, oh, I know what this is about. I promise you, I promise to God, you don't know what this is about.
I have no idea what this is about.
You go in there thinking it's one thing, and then all of a sudden it turns into a whole nother thing. I wrote it because in the top of it, the therapist is talking to her, and so the audience is really the therapist. So they get a chance to make up their mind on what's really going on between the two of them. Because she has her story, he has his story, and then the audience gets to see what the truth is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the therapy, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But it is about an angry black woman getting revenge, though.
It's not really. If that's what you think is about, but it's not. It's about this woman. I can't give. If I say too much, and I give it away, but it's about this woman who they were married, they had a relationship, it didn't work out, and the end of it, things changed, and he moved on, but she couldn't. She was holding on to it, and didn't know how to let go. And the more successful he got, the more angry and crazy he became.
Hold up, Tyler. Hold up, won't he do it? Will he won't?
Yes.
No. I'm sorry. Am I saying too much?
Yeah.
No, we've seen this movie though.
No, I don't.
Sitting next to it.
Oh my God. I'm gonna go to the movie just to verify.
I'm telling you.
I'm not gonna have to go there. I already know the ending.
Steve should have a residual check coming out of this.
No, I'm going Steve, just you don't want to... this. You don't want this ending. You don't want this ending.
What? Okay. Oh, I can't wait to see it, Tyler. Okay. Oh, my God.
Shirley, we got to go.
I'd love an ending.
We're going to make it a girl's night out. Yes,
yeah, I'm telling you. Just go see it. Go out to the movies and see it. I'm telling you, it's really, really good. It's so different for me. People don't know what to expect. I keep getting every interview I do, they're like, Tyler, what were you thinking when you wrote? This is so different for you. I've been hearing that a lot. But after Gone Girl, I wanted to really do something in this genre, in this vein. So,
wow.
Hey, man, is Taraji P. Henson right now one of the baddest chicks out there?
Oh, yeah, she's got it, man, hands down. Mm-hmm. She's got it. And I love working with her because she's so cool. She's so professional. You know, we shot this movie in 8 days. We didn't have a lot of time. She was shooting Empire. And I only had her for 5 days. So she came in there and killed it, man. And I love working with her. She's so real. She'll kill a scene and start screaming for crab legs and wine, you know? Yeah, that's Taraji.
How do you shoot a major feature film in eight days, Tyler?
Well, that's one of the advantages of having the studio, and that's another advantage of not having a bunch of producers in your ear, of studio giving you notes. When it's your project, you can do whatever you want to do. And so I don't have a lot of people slowing me down, and I could just roll with it. Nobody's calling me up saying, well, change this, or we didn't like this, or redo that. I'm like, get the hell out of here with all that. So it makes it work really easy.
Wow, okay.
You know, that's what I think you've done to this industry to kind of flip it up and down. First of all, to make a long story short, the whole concept of Madea was just under the radar. Mm-hmm. It was if I didn't have the right word for it, it was what would have been called years and years ago a Chitlin Circuit item.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There was no press. There was no social media. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It was just, man,
word of mouth.
The theater was packed.
Yep. Loving it. Yes, it was. Yeah.
And when he went in there to try to tell them, this is what I got, they went, that's not.
We don't know her.
We've never seen her.
Who is she now?
She's what?
Madea.
Right.
What is this? Yeah.
This is Madea.
That's why I'm so excited about what's going on right now, man, because I've been in those rooms having those conversations, yelling about our stories for a long time. So, and you know, for about a 10-year period, I was the only person out there. There was no black people on television. There was nobody making films. All that whole thing that happened in the 90s had dried up. Mm-hmm. So to see what's happening now at your Issa Rae's and Donald Glover and Ryan Coogler, Ava DuVernay, all of these people getting Jordan Peele, all of them getting a chance to tell their stories, man. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Tyler, do you go to the theater to watch the reaction of the audience when one of your movies comes out?
I do try to sneak in some. So I'm definitely going to try to sneak in with this one because I'm telling you right now, you ain't ready for this one.
I can't wait.
Any guy out there with a dream and she giving you hell, take her to see
this
movie.
You mean a dream snatcher? Okay.
I'm telling you.
Hey, y'all, stick around. Hold on. We'll be right back with more with Tyler Perry right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, y'all, we back. More with this fool, Tyler.
Oh, man, y'all think y'all got it figured out. You'll be talking about it Monday morning. Think you got it figured out like, oh, yeah, I know what this is. This all that this Tyler Perry. I know what this is. He's going to be male bashing. He ain't going to do nothing male bashing. Dude, you're going to be happy you went. Take her. Please, right now. Any guy out there with a dream and she giving you hell, take her to see
you
this movie.
You mean a dream snatcher? Okay.
I'm telling you. I'm telling
you. So, Tyler, we know Taraji is the star of the movie. We know that. So tell us about the rest of the cast. It looks like we're seeing some new faces in this movie.
Yeah, Lyric Bent, total leading man. This guy reminds me so much of Sidney Poitier. I was so happy to find him to do this thing. And they work really, really close together in this. And the rest of the cast kind of just round them out and support them. We go from her being very, very young to her being older, older as Taraji, but with young, Asiana is playing her younger. And the thing about it also about this movie is that the family is in her ear. She tells the family everything, so they're in her ear. And
what, Steve? Right. What, Steve?
They're in her ear. They're telling. So they help her to paint this narrative of what's not really the truth. Mm. So you did need to go
see it. Starting to sound familiar.
Somebody got quiet. I want to tell you something right now. When somebody gets quiet on the phone, the Lord has spoken.
Yes.
Shut your mouth.
Yes.
You better preach up in
here.
You better preach up in here,
right.
Tyler Perry.
That's right.
Hey, Tyler, you the really, really wanted to make this real. You should have just cast me.
Sounds like
I could have been in here and gave you some stuff don't nobody know.
You don't need no lies.
Boy.
All you had to do is go, action.
I could have shot that movie for you in about 17 hours.
And don't even write a script, just say action.
No, just action. Steve, come in here. Here she is. Got it. Thanks, Tyler. Give me some crab legs and wine.
I love it, man.
Hey, man, this weekend, everybody, Acrimony is in theater. Tyler, man, what I ought to do? Because I can't go no movie nowhere. Oof.
You can go, Steve. Yeah,
you can sneak in with time. Sneak in with
safe. Just go, Steve.
You have to go early. Just go early. Yeah.
Or if you want to go later, what you do is you go. What they do for me is once the movie starts, I just come in through the back and go up to the top, sit at the top, and just really, I have a good time back there.
Yeah.
Go to the movies, man.
You go up.
Tyler, do something.
Movie,
sure. Oh, yeah, we have. Tyler. We've seen you in movies, Tyler.
Well, I saw Tyler Think Like a Man. He was sitting behind me.
Yep.
Laughing hard as hell.
Yep.
He kept going, who is this laughing? Man, this good, Steve.
That's right.
Oh, I saw that. Well, hey, listen, everybody. Let's get out and support this movie this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a thriller, a suspense that you can't possibly know what's going to happen. And here's the catch. Fellas, if you have a dream, take a woman with you.
Yep.
So crazy.
That's right.
Don't think he in there just male bashing.
There you go. I'm telling
this ain't,
you. Tell him, Steve.
This ain't Madea and Uncle Joe.
Nope.
This is Tyler that stepped out. But I know him, though. This is a creative dude right here. Mm-hmm. Get to this movie. If you want to know more about me,
Steve.
Wanna get a deeper understanding
of what I've been through,
what the hell been happening here.
Lord have mercy, Steve.
Let's get to Acrimony. Man.
Well, thank you, Tyler, for another what we know is going to be a hit, Acrimony. Acrimony in theaters right now.
Steve.
I didn't know that word till this movie came out.
No, Tyler, thank you. No, thank you.
It's out there
finally,
now, Steve.
Finally, somebody.
I need some crab legs and some wine. That's all I got to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Perry, everybody.
God bless
you, sir.
Thank y'all so much.
You all did right. That, Tyler.
Thank you.
We love Tyler, don't we? All right. Yes, we do. Can't wait to see the movie as well. Well, we have a big weekend to do it. Today is Good Friday, and then
it's Easter.
Easter weekend. Yeah.
Can I ask something?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. How long is church going to be?
Oh, it's going to be real long.
Well, I'm going to tell you why it be long, though, because this is the service that the pastor get to show out, because it's packed.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
It's packed.
He's trying to win new members. But the march round for offering is long.
Oh, man.
Everybody walking.
Well, you got a major production, too, for Easter. You got Flying Angels and
praise dancers.
Yes. The tambourine thing.
Man, can I just go and say this?
We have a donkey.
Can I say this, man?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
I don't really like praise dancers.
I'm with you. I can't stand them.
Get out, y'all. The movement sing.
I know they bring in, they do good work for the church, but it ain't in the Bible.
It
They're not in the
really
Bible.
It is.
Yeah.
You can praise the Lord and dance. Mm-hmm. It is. Yes,
but
it is.
But the word, but
don't like be good, though.
The movements don't match the song.
And they need to start having people in there all the same size. Because when everybody do the movements, they don't look the same.
Yeah. Well, they you can't judge them on size.
I'm just telling you what makes
the praise dances at church. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's
I don't really think we should have praise dances at the church.
And I'm not up with the white face. That's just me. I'm just, I don't.
No, they good.
That's scary.
The mimes are good.
I don't like the mimes.
Mimes are scary.
Junior said they're scary.
Yeah. Because you sitting there and they come out that back door. Yeah. You don't even see them.
Mimes are very scary. They've always been scary.
Like the Lord never said I was talking to mimes.
Come in here to hear the word,
not see the word.
I didn't want to come in here and have a description of the word.
Yeah.
I'm already struggling trying to stay on track listening to the word. Now, I'm in here trying to analyze what you saying with your fingers.
Yeah.
Put your hands down.
And that pop locking. Why is you pop locking?
I know it's part of the church, but hey, I'm just.
I can't believe they judge in the Easter.
I'm speechless right now.
Can I just say one more thing?
What?
No, you cannot.
No, let me say this, please.
I want to hear this.
Steve, can I say this?
How far you
give me one tambourine. One. That's all I need.
One.
We don't need five of them.
Whoever show up with a tambourine first, the other one's got to be put away.
Yeah.
More of this foolishness when we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, it's time for something funny, and Jay, this is about stuff you say to your neighbors under your breath. Please explain.
This has to do with we see our neighbors all the time. We're not that fond of them sometimes. Yeah. So we speak, but under our breath, we're saying little things, little insulting things like, hey, how you doing? You need to clean up that nasty ass yard.
Keeping it
100. You got one C.
Check, Jay.
I just want this. Earl, how you doing? How you doing? Earl, my man. You need some curtains, man.
You
want to see your naked ass every night.
We see it too much.
How you doing, Franklin's? Good to see you. Hope that boy stay home this time.
He just got out.
He takes vacations, Junior.
Hey, good to see ya.
Uh-huh.
This is the fifth time.
Dang.
Perkins, how are you? Good, good. You should do something with that damn boat you've been having. That boat don't even work.
How you doing, Mr. Kennedy? Hey, how you doing? I smell that wee way over here. Across the street, I smell it.
Dale, Kim, how you guys doing today? With them stupid ass kids. Them half wit.
Not the kids.
Yeah,
with not them the babies.
Stupid ass kids.
This is stuff we say to our neighbors under our breath.
It's gotta be said.
Come on, Junior.
Got, Junior.
Smiths, good to see you. All right now, I wouldn't be pushing my mama that long. Now she got to do something. Three people.
Hey, Bob, how are you? Good, good. Wish you can stop your fat ass wife from swimming naked on him.
Really?
Just been scaring the hell out of my dog.
Morning, Mr. Anderson, how you doing? Yeah. How you get four claws on the block and don't none of them work?
Four cars?
Yeah,
that yard is a mess. Stuff we say to our neighbors under our breath. Come on, Steve.
Willis, what's going on, boy? I see you. Have a good one today. So glad he over there, because that breath of his. He came over with that breath. He cut my grass last week.
He killed my flower.
He spoke to me and cut my grass last week with his breath.
Wow. Wow. That's bad. Stuff we say to our neighbors under our breath.
Ethel, Herman, how y'all doing? So good. Ethel and Herman, Ethel my friends, Herman. My friends. Time for y'all put y'all mama in a hole.
Put
your mama in the hole.
Just be bending over with her ass up in the window. You put your mama in the hole.
Yeah.
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 Black people don't do that.
Hey, Mr. Mitchell, what's going on? Yeah, I'm good. You don't see that dog doing your yard? You just don't see it. Yeah. You're just going
right
to
leave it there.
You need a pooper scooper. Coming up, the Sacramento Kings will not shut up and dribble. We'll tell you about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Yesterday was a memorial service slash funeral of the 22-year-old Stephon Clark out of Sacramento, the unarmed black man who was fatally shot by the Sacramento police on March 18th. His death has sparked outrage from residents in the Sacramento community, while the Sacramento Kings have announced they're partnering with the BUILD, Black Coalition, and Black Lives Matter Sacramento. The partnership, yes, the partnership is to help fundamentally transform black communities through deep investment in black youth in Sacramento. This is according to the Kings press release. One part of this partnership involves the Kings creating an education fund for Stephon Clark's children, which is fantastic because he left behind two young sons. This fund cannot fix the issue that led to the death of their father, but it will secure opportunities for their futures while the family and the city grapples with healing, said the Kings. Also, later on today, there will be a forum sponsored by Vince Carter, Garrett Temple, and Doug Christie, and city leaders to create conversation about Sacramento's black community, police violence, and people dealing with grief over Stephon Clark's killing. Wow. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
We have
getting involved. Yeah.
Police trained to apprehend suspects that are non-white. Apprehending a suspect who is non-white should be a specific type of training because it doesn't occur regular enough. If you assume he has a gun, you immediately go to killing and shoot. It's just, what happened to shoot him in the leg, slow him down? What happened to let me see your hands? What happened to get on your knees, put your hands behind your head? I'm sure the guy would have complied. But if you just walk in shooting, because you've been shooting at these black targets on this white piece of paper, and all you got is kill shots. You don't know how to shoot to wound. It's two of y'all. Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
It was four for this one. It was like four. It doesn't matter how many. They're going to shoot to kill all the time.
Yep.
It does not matter.
That appears to be the case, Jay. Mm-hmm. Every time they aim.
We always end up dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah. And they always say, like you said yesterday, Steve, they always say, we feared for our lives, the cops.
That's it. Yeah. They scared.
On duty, mm-hmm. While on duty.
Yeah.
As soon as they approach a black person, they immediately, they scared.
But you know what, Carla?
And you're scared, too, when they stop you.
Black people.
Man.
Man, everybody's scared.
Everybody's scared.
You know what, Carla? You brought up a good point a couple of days ago, I think, about, you know, we forget about Colin Kaepernick. This is why
he... Oh, I said
that.
Now you see why Colin Kaepernick
was kneeling.
This is why. This constantly happens over and over and over. And they tried to spin it, what Colin was doing. But this is why. Here we are again.
Yeah.
Same scenario. Right here.
This is why he took the knee.
Never suspension.
Yeah.
Never, nothing. Nothing ever happens.
Yeah. He did not take a knee to protect, you know, to against the flag or against our military. That's not what it was about. This is what it was about. Police brutality and killing.
Yeah.
These senseless shootings.
Yeah.
And killings.
And we're tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're
really tired of it. And shout out to the Sacramento Kings,
Vince Carter.
Vince Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Caring
about
Garrett Temple.
Yep. Will not shut up and dribble. I love it.
Yeah. Steve will be up next with his closing remarks.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Here we are, last break of the day on this Friday, this Good Friday, the Friday before Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. Steve, what do you have for us closing remarks-wise today?
Yeah, here's something that I think is very helpful to people, and it would help you open yourself up to really what God truly can have for you. And the reason I'm saying that is because oftentimes we limit what God can do in our lives simply by the way we think and simply by our expectations. God has no, he's limitless. You can't put him in a box. You can't put what God can do for you in the parameters of your thinking. What you've got to do is you've got to open up your mind so you can be open to all of his goodness and what he can do for you. And I'm saying that to say this because a lot of times people ask God and only think about stuff that they can see themselves attaining. Basically, with your check, there's a scripture that says you have not because you ask not. Well, then most people go, Lord, help me make my rent. Mm-hmm. And then I have to ask you, well, don't he always? Why would you not ask God for a mortgage? Well, become a homeowner. Then here comes the thinking of man. You start putting in stuff like, well, I don't make enough money. My credit score. I haven't been on my job long enough. I can't afford that. Therefore, why would I sit up and ask for that? See, you're knocking yourself out of so many blessings that God can have for you by your limited thinking, because God has no limits. So you have to open up your mind. So you have to start thinking of things that is in your imagination. Why would you not ask God for a big house? You don't think that God got enough sense. Based on this scripture, you have not because you ask not. Most people don't ask because they don't see no way they can get it. You don't think that if you ask God for a big house, you don't think he got enough sense to make a way for you to get the house? You don't think that he knows that you need more money and that he know how to make a way for you to make more money? You don't think he got that part figured out? You think he needs your help figuring that out? You don't think that he know that if you got X amount of dollars, your credit score really don't matter? You don't think he know that? He know all of that. But you've limited to see what he can do and how he can move in your life because you won't think big enough. There is a book that changed my life. The name of the book is called The Magic of Thinking Big. And it's by David Schwartz. It's The Magic of Thinking Big. And I didn't understand this until I was selling Amway. Amway was one of the greatest periods of my life because it introduced me to positive books. It introduced me to self-motivation and self-help books. And those are really the only books I read. Outside of the Bible, I don't read anything. I don't read novels, love stories. I ain't got no time for that. But The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. I have time to read that because The Magic of Thinking Big taught me something. It taught me that it does not require any more brain power to think big than it does to think small. It doesn't require any more. You ain't got to grunt. Look, you can say Volkswagen or you can say Rolls Royce. It doesn't, your brain don't have to shift and burn more cells and you got to throw yourself into something to say Rolls Royce versus Volkswagen. It doesn't hurt more to say rent or mortgage. It doesn't hurt no more to say new car than used car. It doesn't hurt more to say hand me down than it costs you to say brand new. If you buy this book, The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz, it's an amazing way. It changed my thinking in my 20s. And so I started thinking big. Once I started thinking big, I started opening up to the possibilities of God because God is big. Am I not right? God is big. So why would you get in the way of his bigness with your small-mindedness? See, you're getting in the way of your blessings by the way you think. You keep thinking in terms of your paycheck. God ain't in your paycheck. Get out of your paycheck, man. Get out of your current situations. Where you are is just temporary. God has another place for you. God got a great life for you. But you got to invite him in and let him show it to you. Quit wasting his time with this little bitty man. Get out of your own way. You are in your way with your limited thinking. People ask me all the time, man, why are you always at the meetings? Why don't you just sit down and take your day off? Because I can't get where I'm going sitting down taking my days off. I'm about the business of becoming successful and happy. Now, am I successful? Yeah. Am I happy? Yeah. Happier than I ever been. And I have everything I need. Can I tell y'all that? I don't need nothing else. But I'm in the want side of life. I just want. I'm not greedy. I'm not asking you to give me nothing. I'm willing to work for other things I want. I want to see how the other class of people live. I want to see what that's like. I want to see what it's like when my grandchildren's children will remember my name because I left them something, because I created a legacy that I put money away for my grandchildren and my children's children. That's what I'm working on. You can do that. God is capable. Get out your way. This is the book again, y'all. The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. Go buy it. Go buy it. Just go buy it.
I'm getting
it. To change the way you think. Just check it out. It's a really, really great book. Those are my closing remarks. Y'all have a great weekend.
I'm going to get audio because I'll be there.
Nor can you see.
Y'all have a great weekend. Y'all blaze.
Yeah, happy Resurrection Day. Happy Easter.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.